Station WKZO presents Western Michigan at Work. In many cities of our area, chambers of commerce help provide jobs for Western Michigan at Work. Among the cities with active chambers of commerce are Sturgis, Three Rivers, Battle Creek, Coldwater, Marshall, Elgin, Holland, and Hastings. And on this broadcast and the one next week, we are going to bring you a case study of one chamber of commerce to illustrate what these organizations do in behalf of Western Michigan at Work and in building better communities. We're going to bring you the story of the Kalamazoo Chamber of Commerce. And here's our guide, Dr. Willis Dunbar.
Good evening. Back in 1903, the state of Michigan decided to build another normal school somewhere in the western part of the state. Recognizing that such a school would be a valuable asset, several cities started working to get the institution. Among these was Kalamazoo. Clyde B. McGibney stirred up interest in the local press club for the project, and through it got the business interests of the city to work for the location of the school in Kalamazoo. Much volunteer work was done in surveying proposed sites, securing options, and raising money to pay for the one which ultimately was selected and presented to the state. And so the institution now known as Western Michigan College of Education was brought to Kalamazoo. The success attained in thus working together for a common purpose aroused enthusiasm for harnessing such cooperative endeavor for other projects. Accordingly, Samuel Foles, then mayor of the city, called a meeting at the city hall on February the 10th, 1904. And at this meeting, a businessmen's association called the Board of Trade was organized. Later, it was called the Commercial Club and finally the Chamber of Commerce. The infant born on that winter day in 1904 is now a lusty fellow in his middle 40s. What has he made of himself? What has he done to justify the hopes and dreams of his parents? Well, opinions differ. Some think he's hot.
The Kalamazoo Chamber of Commerce is the most potent influence in the building of our city. Without it, our civic enterprise would wither away.
And some think he's cold.
Ah, the Chamber of Commerce. Huh. You know what they are? They're just a bunch of money bags, always looking around for new ways to gyp the public.
And some think he's in the pot 9 years old.
If we had a Chamber of Commerce in this town that had any life, we'd get something done about it.
So I guess the only way we can tell how this thing measures up is to take a look at the record. According to the record, in the year 1908, when this chap was just about entering kindergarten, he helped secure the site of the Kalamazoo Armory and aided in its erection. In that same year, he helped the Grand Trunk Railroad get a right-of-way into the city, connecting with the main line at Pavilion and affording an important shipping outlet for several plants and factories. According to the record, freight rates for shipping from Kalamazoo were high in 1910. On the theory that Michigan, being a peninsula, operation costs were higher, the railroads charged what was called a penalty rate. The Chamber of Commerce got busy. Volunteer committees worked on the problem until 1919, when a full-time transportation man in the person of George Bolander was appointed. In 1920, Bolander got the penalty freight rate removed from Kalamazoo. George is here with me in the studio this evening. Tell our listeners, George, what that meant to Kalamazoo.
The amount of savings is impossible to accurately estimate. It is safe to say, however, that it has amounted to many millions of dollars to Kalamazoo and southern Michigan. Of greater importance is the influence...
By the time our subject was an adolescent, that is about 1916, he undertook a project which turned out to be one of the most significant steps in the history of the city of Kalamazoo. The establishment of the commission-manager form of government. Well, let's sit in on a meeting of the Chamber's Board of Directors in 1916. Mr. Frank Millam, president of the Chamber of Commerce, is in the chair.
Well, is there any other business to come up tonight?
Well, Mr. President, I'd like to see us get busy on our city government. For over 4 years now, we've been talking about how stupid it is to let politics dominate our city hall. Everybody agrees that it does make a bit of difference whether a man's a Republican or a Democrat when it comes to running the city of Kalamazoo. Why can't we find a way to wash the whole dirty political setup out of our city government? Let's do something about it, not just talk.
Well, we might hear from John Ryan, chairman of our committee for better city government.
Mr. President, your committee has been busy.
Now, we've heard about a new plan of government down in Dayton, Ohio. It's called the Commission Manager Plan. Now, under this plan, the city commission, like our present city council, is elected on a nonpartisan basis. And they hire a competent man to run the city's affairs in a businesslike manner. And we believe the plan has merit. Dr. Upjohn has had Lent Upson, director of the Detroit Bureau of Municipal Research, over here, and he's told us more about the plan. And we're for giving it a try.
According to the record, it was the Chamber of Commerce which took the initiative in getting politics out of Kalamazoo city government and setting up a plan which has not only helped make Kalamazoo debt-free, but also to make it one of America's best-governed cities. The whole campaign, which extended over a five-year period, saw the new plan adopted, virtually turned down, and then adopted again by the voters. Dr. W.E. Upjohn was in the forefront of the struggle. He was president of the chamber in 1918 at the climax of the fight, and it was through the Chamber of Commerce that the fight was won. In 1918, Dr. Upjohn, as president of the chamber, secured Mr. Harry Freeman as secretary and manager of the Chamber of Commerce. When the voters of the city accepted the chamber's recommendation and adopted the commission manager form of government, they elected as first mayor under the new plan Dr. Upjohn. And then the mayor and the commission hired Harry Freeman away from the Chamber of Commerce as city manager. This shows just how closely the whole project was fostered and promoted by the Chamber of Commerce organization. While the Chamber of Commerce was still a young stripling, it was recognized that Kalamazoo's welfare and prosperity depended in considerable measure on the well-being of the farmers who make this city their trading center. According to the record, it was the Chamber of Commerce that helped start the Kalamazoo County Farm Bureau. For several years, it was necessary for the chamber to subsidize the project. Jason Woodman, a prominent farmer, was chosen as first county agricultural agent. The county agent renders an invaluable service to farmers in dozens of different ways, helps him produce more, and thus to have more money to spend in Kalamazoo. And while we're talking about farmers, maybe we'd better mention a project that came somewhat later. In the year 1936, when Dunlap Clark was president of the chamber, farmers were becoming dissatisfied with the marketing facilities for their livestock. Instead of shipping stock to Chicago or Detroit to be sold by commission merchants, why not establish right here in Kalamazoo an auction market? According to the record, it was the Chamber of Commerce which took the initiative in establishing the Kalamazoo Livestock Auction. The chamber joined with interested parties in forming a corporation and building a livestock auction plant. Today, over $1.5 million worth of livestock is sold annually at this plant, and a good share of that money is spent in Kalamazoo. It is the year 1925. Guy Wilson now heads the Chamber of Commerce. Charles S. Campbell, then president of the First National Bank, was chairman of a committee to create an organization to receive bequests and to disburse them for the good of the county. I've asked Mr. Campbell to tell you about it.
As a banker, I learned of many people who had a substantial means and were anxious to devote them as bequests to some worthy cause. But they felt the need of some dependable body which could administer these funds prudently. And so, with the help of Mr. C. Hubbard Kleinstuck, we set up the Kalamazoo Foundation. The Chamber of Commerce played an important part in getting the foundation started.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. According to the record, up to date, the Kalamazoo Foundation, started by a committee of the Chamber of Commerce, has spent over $200,000 on worthy projects in Kalamazoo County. It has promised different organizations, if the terms of its offers are met, to pay out a further $522,700. Down through the years, the Chamber of Commerce has demonstrated that it has been interested in Kalamazoo at play as well as Kalamazoo at work. In 1923, Jacob Kindleberger was the Chamber's president, and Charles B. Hayes was the head of a committee on municipal golf. There were a lot of people who wanted to play golf. A lot of them couldn't afford or didn't want to join a country club. According to the record, it was the Chamber's committee that persuaded the city to buy land on the west side of Kalamazoo for a municipal golf course. And the committee raised $14,000 to improve the land for the course. A municipal golf association was formed, and this group later on took charge of player activities at the Millom Park Golf Course and still runs it. And let's take a look at another aspect of our city recreation facilities, Riverside Park, including Red Arrow Park and the St. Augustine Stadium. I've asked Mr. Leroy Gilbert, head of the City Parks Department, to tell us about Riverside Park.
Red Arrow and Riverview Parks are perhaps, in a park designer's estimation, an ideal situation. They have utilized an area that was of very little value to industry or commerce or residences in such a way that our community benefits greatly from their development. The park offers a fine approach to the city of Kalamazoo, as certainly aesthetic values to the community in which it's located. The golf course, short 9-hole golf course, used to capacity. One of the local parochial schools has been able, through lease, to obtain property on which to build their stadium, football field, and track. The Third Street Community Center have also leased a certain portion of the land to carry on their outdoor program, their summertime outdoor program. One of the finest baseball diamonds within the city, located in this park. It's a large outdoor natural pond utilized in the wintertime for skating, adds its aesthetic beauty to the area in the summertime. The park has now developed to allow an additional baseball field, an additional softball field, and such other small areas as might be demanded in the future. I say, to my notion, this is an ideal situation.
Thank you, Mr. Gilbert. According to the record, it was a committee of the Chamber of Commerce, headed by Charles Farrell, which conducted purchase negotiations with the owners of this property, with good help from Edward Clark, who was then city manager and is today city engineer and is today city manager. The city bought the land on the terms negotiated by the Chamber's committee. Well, there's lots more to tell about the record of the Kalamazoo Chamber of Commerce, so much that we can't possibly tell you all about it tonight. So we'll continue our story next week.
You have been listening to the first of two programs about the Kalamazoo Chamber of Commerce, presented as another chapter in the story of Western Michigan at work. This program has been in part by transcription, and our next program of this series will come to you 1 week from tonight at this same time. This has been another of the many programs presented by the Fetzer Broadcasting Company in the public interest.
This is WKZO on the Bertie Kotel, Kalamazoo. Now there's a bond a month plan where you bank. Yes, and a good plan it is, too. You see, your bank will buy a bond every month for you, and they'll charge it to your checking account.